We're gonna keep trying. Okay, Melissa. Give me another sound check. Let me type it in. Okay. Well, good. Okay. Good deal. Good. Maybe I hit the magic button. Who knows? Anyway, okay, I've been promising you guys this Patreon video for 2 weeks now. Let me try to figure that out. Let's see about that. Hang on. Aspect ratio is still off. Hey to Jen over on YouTube. Good to see you. I'm going to be working on that. It seems that you can't change the aspect ratio in the middle of a broadcast. Like off the broadcast, I can change the aspect ratio on BeLive, but not in the middle of a broadcast. It will not let me do it. So whatever. We just keep going, right? All right. Thank God I got the video and audio straightened out for the content of this. Let's get into it, shall we? Pareidolia is the tendency to perceive a specific, often meaningful image in a random or ambiguous visual pattern. The scientific explanation for some people is pareidolia, or the human ability to see shapes or make pictures out of randomness. Okay. And so what people in science are saying is that pareidolia is an illusion caused by ambiguous stimulation, and the ambiguous forms are perceived as visual objects with meaning. Hey, special shout out to Charles Biggs. Good to see you tonight. I'm so glad you showed up. So most people see pareidolia as religious figures in miracles. Like, yes, Amber, seeing Jesus on toast. Absolutely. Now remember, and this is in the Bible, Moses saw God in the flames of a burning bush. Okay. So that's technically pareidolia. But do we doubt his vision of God as the figure in the burning bush? No, we don't. Okay. Most often people are usually seeing angels or the Virgin Mary in the form of clouds or in trees or the wood grain in doors or other objects. So what's really going on here? What's really going on here? Let's see here. I'm looking at my notes. Studies show that people tend to see more pareidolia in fractal patterns as compared to non-fractal patterns. And so a fractal is an iterative pattern that looks similar across scales, like a tree whose forking pattern repeats its branches, twigs, and leaf veins. In this kind of natural fractal, each leaf looks like a tiny version of the whole tree. So many natural phenomena like rocks, mountains, clouds, rivers, plants, trees, animal coloration, waves and wind can similarly have fractal patterns. So, what's going on here? Our minds are more likely to see pareidolia in a fractal pattern. A fractal pattern indicates that there's some kind of order or some kind of specificness to the pattern that's happened. So there's no randomness to the pattern. There's a specific structure to the fractal pattern. So I'm going to bring this to you. I know this is probably going to blow your mind, but I had to do this. I have to blow your mind. My feeling or my theory is that entities that have a specific morphogenic field or morphogenic pattern identify with whatever fractal pattern is in the object, be it the cloud or the tree or whatever, and it can overlay on top of that morphogenic field to present itself to someone for a specific reason. Let's say you've been praying about a problem that you've had for a long time and you need an answer to it and you need a sign or something. And I think that this is a way that an entity or an angel or whatever can send you a sign, is through morphogenic field and the fractal patterning of whatever is in the physical environment. So now we got to talk about what is a morphogenic field. So hang on a second. Let me make sure there are no questions. Okay. And so some of the people on Instagram have said they switched from Facebook to Instagram so that they could hear. Well, I'm so glad you did. But I got the stuff figured out on the sound. So what is a morphogenic field? There was a guy that did a lot of study in morphogenic fields, and the name is Sheldrake. And this person proposes that there is a field within and around a morphic unit. And when we talk about a morphic unit, we're talking about like an entity like ourselves, which organizes its characteristic structure and pattern of activity. According to this concept, the morphic field underlies the formation and behavior of morphic units and can be set up by the repetition of similar acts or thoughts. The hypothesis says that a particular form belonging to a certain group, which has already established its morphic field, will tune into that morphic field. So, in other words, if you get into the theory of reincarnation, and we bring this up, morphogenic fields are what determine what you reincarnate into. For example, I always wondered when I was 16, why does a cat reincarnate into a cat? Why doesn't it reincarnate into a dog? You know, what's to prevent it from reincarnating into a dog? So what the morphogenic field theory is about is the energy field or the energy structure of a being has a certain structure. It has like a key that fits to another structure that is identical. And so cat's energy structure only fits with the physical form of a cat. And so that is why we see these repeating patterns on a reincarnation. Now, if you work really hard at evolution in your lifetime, and you're changing your physical resonance to a higher being or a higher structure, then when you reincarnate, you don't any longer fit the human morphogenic field. You may reincarnate into a higher being, but you have to change your physical resonance or your physical structure, and that's what we're talking about here. Is the morphogenic field being a specific resonance that fits a specific pattern. So let's see, morphic resonance, using it to guide its own development, the development of particular form, will then provide, again, through morphic resonance, a feedback to the morphic field of that group, thus strengthening it with its own experience, resulting in the new information being added. Sheldrake regards the morphic fields as a universal database for both organic and abstract mental forms. This is very, very important. So my feeling is that certain entities that want to send a sign to you in the environment, their resonance can be attracted to a morphic field in, let's say, a cloud or a tree, and it has to have that morphic field resonance in order for them to overlay on top of the image that is already inherent in the tree or the cloud or whatever they are overlaying on top of. So let me know what you guys think about this. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Have you ever had any experiences with this? What are your thoughts on it? So my feeling is that not every instance of pareidolia is like an illusion of your mind. If you have been asking for a specific sign or some specific help and a pareidolia experience happens, I really believe that that is an answer to what you have been putting prayer out for. And I think that, be it an angel or whatever entity that you need communication with, is able to overlay that sign on top of the physical resonance of the object, and it fits the morphogenic field of the entity, and that gets the message through to you. Now, in layman's terms, this is about morphogenic fields. In layman's terms, the theory proposes that any form looks always alike because it remembers its form through repetition, and that any new forms having similar characteristics will use the pattern of the similar forms already existing as a guide for its appearance. Or, like I'm saying, overlay. So Angela says, I get communication in clouds a lot, I feel. Yes, and I think that those are actual signs, because I feel like the entity that we communicate with is using the morphogenic field or morphogenic resonance of the cloud to overlay on top of it to make sure, Angela, that you get that message that you definitely need. So I think that pareidolia can actually be one of the biggest receptions of signs, symbols, communications from our spirit guides that we need on a daily basis. So overlay is what I'm talking about, of the entity on top of a morphogenic field. And so most of the structures that provide us with morphogenic fields are trees, curtains, the outline of furniture, even stains on a wall, the grain in a door, clouds, and just, you know, other inanimate objects can all be seen as pareidolia. More often than not, I think trees are the biggest place that we have the fractal pattern. Yes, Angela says floors. Absolutely, Angela. I think floors definitely. But, you know, and that kind of makes me think about the statement of fractals Because does the floor have the repeating pattern of fractals that, you know, the studies say that more people see pareidolia in a fractal pattern than other things. So it could be that the floor's repeating pattern is definitely a thing that figures into that. Trees most definitely are one of the biggest things that you're going to see pareidolia in. So I really don't want you guys to dismiss pareidolia so easily. And Melissa says, human male or female can reincarnate into opposite genders or different race. Yes, and that's pretty well been proven for a long time from the different accounts of people who are reincarnated, and they give these accounts, but then, you know, they're also researchable. They're also validated that there was that person, and, you know, that was their life, and that was how they passed away. And so, you know, it's definitely, to me, like a proven fact that reincarnation exists. And so, you know, we all have either been male or female at one point. And so somebody who has a tendency to be more male characteristic may have had more male past lives than female. And so they kind of gravitate to that energy. But this is definitely a way, pareidolia, I think, is definitely a way that spirits and entities are trying to communicate signs with us. And, you know, it's that those quiet moments when you're staring out into the clouds or when you're staring out into space, well, where there are several trees there, and that your mind floats down into that alpha and theta wave state. And you're able to receive those signs, and they're in the form of pareidolia. Big shout out to Ina. You'll have to go back and rewind, because this is some really important information, because, like I said, I really don't want you guys to ignore or discount pareidolia anymore, because, you know, due to this morphogenic field theory that I've come up with, this is my theory, it's nobody else's theory. I feel like pareidolia is a significant transfer of information from spirit world to us, and we should not discount it. Okay, I want to do a quick shout out to my friends over at Hitch to Homicide. I will try to put a link in the comments below after the show. But this is a wonderful true crime podcast my friends Chris and Rob Portoff do. And I would appreciate you sending them some love and tuning in for a Wednesday episode. Also want to talk about next week's show. I'm going to, now this isn't on next week's show, but I'm going to start the fall and winter season of Kentucky Goblin series. I want to do that before I do the Ley Line show, specifically because this is the time of season when goblins and these type of entities are traveling from their summer abodes back into the cave system. And if you watched my show on goblins, you will know all about this. But if you haven't, okay, we have a huge, huge caving system underneath Kentucky and Tennessee. So what happens with these entities is that in the spring, they come out of the cave system and they go out into the fields and the woods, and they exist in that climate until the weather changes and fall begins, and then they go back to the cave system. So a lot of people are having an increase in paranormal activity because the goblins are traveling back to their cave system. So Melissa wants to know, Do Kentucky goblins like Kentucky bourbon? I should hope so. If this is their home state, I should hope so. So Ina says lots of caves in southern Indiana too. Yes, absolutely, but more so in our state and in Tennessee. And so we see an uptick, or I see an uptick every year around this time, not only because the veil is thin, but because these things are traveling back to the cave system. And that got me thinking, I really want to do the video series on Kentucky goblins first before we do ley lines. This is going to be like a mini movie, so I'm going to be working on it. And you guys, if you have any information on them or you've had any experiences, please message or email me about anything that has happened to you. I would definitely like to read it and consider it for the show. But next week's show, we're going to go over some easy ways to test your empathic ability, because your empathic ability can be one of the most beneficial things that you can use in problem solving, but you have to know what's a true empathic feeling and what's an emotional feeling. And we're going to go through all of that next Monday night, and I'm going to give you some special ways to test your empathic ability so that you can get used to using it. So Ina says, in my country, there are lots of abandoned underground mines. Is that a habitat too? Absolutely. They will use those as well. Underground mines, caves, anything like that, they definitely will use. And if I think about it, I'll try to post a link on my Facebook page to the episode that I did on goblins, because they are very, very, very interesting creatures. Now, you guys have a fabulous week. And remember, your pareidolia has significance. It is actually a sign from your spirit guides. So pay attention. Don't dismiss it. Kisses from Kentucky, and I will see you on Friday for Fun Friday. Later.